Give me count around, Joel. Reach around, count around.
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Pizza! Showtime!
I use the bathroom.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies down a Lincoln path. For the show name, go direct to DLMGS.org. And I see challenge Linux Link.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 995 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy spring.
Is this, it's not spring yet, is it?
Not officially, but I'm fucking ready for it.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. We have Joel.
Good evening.
6 more months of winter for you, Joel. You got it. Joe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the weather here in Texas has Tourette's or something.
Yeah. There's Joe. And anyway, two things I wanted to just quickly cover before we get into other stuff. I mentioned this pre-show. I am trying out KDE Plasma on Ubuntu
2210,
yes. And I like it. I mean, it looks beautiful, I have to say. Plasma, it looks wonderful. I noticed.
Let me ask a quick question here.
Go ahead.
Do you have an Android device?
I do.
Is it your daily
Pixel
driver?
Huh?
Is it your daily driver?
My Pixel? Yes.
Yeah. Then install KDE Connect and hook it up to your computer there.
I'm going to try that. I will try that I'll see about getting that on here in a minute. What is odd is I noticed that it seems when I go to launch an application, it takes a little bit longer to launch than it does in, say, ICE Window Manager, which I was using before. But once it's up and running, everything is really snappy and it runs great. I am digging it. I have to configure it. I will try that KDE Connect. What I did want to bring to the table is I ran into an interesting problem this week. One of my coworkers, he left our team. They moved him from our team to another team, and not even 24 hours later, he's hitting me up about GitHub workflows, and one of his teammates was having an issue. And the question was posed to me this way, that they had a mono repo with all their applications in it. And I guess what a mono repo is instead of having individual applications broken out into their own repository, it's just one big-ass repository with a bunch of different disparate applications in it. And then they had this other repo that had a startup template that they use. And in the action, what he wanted to do was to check out. So on like a pull request or whatever, it checks out the current repository that is in there that you're working with on your GitHub action. So he wants it to check out that repo and then check out the other repo, the application. Well, he wants the application template to come into that repo as a directory at the top level defined by the input parameter name, which we'll just call slug, okay? And the checkout action was pulling it in, but it was the entire Git repo, obviously, because it's like it's just cloning the repository down into the workspace in their current repository that they already checked out. And what was resulting, it was being when they went to go create the PR from the work they did, it was creating that repository or that in repository as a sub module, which is not at all what they wanted. Basically, what they wanted was the repo contents without the Git stuff in it. Simple enough. But normally, the way that you would get that is you could do a Git archive, which would just take all the in the branch or whatever current branch or SHA that you're at that you define in a Git archive will export out all the files in that repo to where you specify, right? And but then that would still require checking out the repo and having to deal with it. And they were kind of like looking to not do that. And the Git archive command doesn't allow you to run that on a remote arc on a remote repository. Like, you have to check it out and run it from within the repository. So that option was not a good idea. And so I went digging around, like, because I know I'm in the past that I have thought about similar situations. Like, what if I just wanted the contents of the repo and I didn't want to clone the repo? I just wanted to get those contents. Well, there's a couple of ways that you can kind of go about it, but GitHub doesn't allow you to create, like in Git itself, you can create a tar, an archive of the repo in wherever in some Git hosting services, but GitHub doesn't allow that. So you could pull down an archive remotely with the Git archive command, I think it is, if your service provides the access to a tarball, which GitHub doesn't. But I did find a posting about somebody who was using, you can do that with the API. So it's a simple curl command to github.com. So it'd be like curl-l, capital L. And you could specify -k for not verifying the certificate, which shouldn't matter. Like, that shouldn't matter unless you're on some VPNs. Like, the VPN we have at work, one of them is essentially performing a man-in-the-middle attack. So if you're on the VPN, it intercepts the request. So you make a request out, and it intercepts the request and sends it off for you. And then you get weird things happening that if certain things are doing strict checking, it complains that the certificate it's getting is not the certificate that it expects. But nonetheless, curl-capital L, and then it's the HTTPS github.com, the user or organization, like for me it would be DWashGo, and then the name of the repository, /tarball/branch, like main. And then that will give you a tarball of your, a compressed tar.gzip compressed export of the files in your repo without the GitHub crap in it, right? Now, you're obviously at that stage with the curl command, you're going to want to do like either a dash O for output and get either, yes, dash O will just output it to the name that it gives, or a dash capital O, I think it is, and you can specify your own name. But being that this was in a GitHub action, in a script, I didn't want to have to download the tarball, extract the tarball, and then delete the tarball, right? Because it can all be done in one command. So you pipe it, instead of specifying the output, you pipe it to tar-xz. And then you can change the name of what it's going to be extracted to, or say, and in this case, dash capital C will change that name. And then they wanted it in the slug directory, or we call it template, but was the variable in there, capital S-L-U-G, the variable. So it chooses that name. And then also, what it typically does, the naming convention, is the name of the repository and then a dash and the SHA that is going to be that you're pulling it from, that branch, the last SHA of that branch. So what ends up happening then is you get kind of an unpredictable name in that directory. So you want to strip off that and just get all the contents underneath that, and that's just adding after the dash C and the name of the directory you're going to put it in. Now, that directory does have to exist before it will drop it in there. And then you just do dash dash strip dash components equal one. And that will just strip off that top level directory and give you all the contents that you want in the directory that you specified. And it worked like a charm, man. It worked beautifully. If you are on a public repository. Now, if you're on a private repository, you have to supply your GitHub token. You can generate that in your settings. It's if you have the proper administrative rights to your repository, which if you're the owner, obviously you do. If you're in an organization, may or may not have, you may have to get a token. But if you're working with GitHub Actions, chances are you've already generated tokens and the documentation is out there. So in the case of that, you need to specify pass to the curl option dash U, and then it's in double quotes token colon and then your token, and close that with double quotes in there, and that works like a charm for private repositories then. So it's just something to keep in the back of your mind if you ever want to grab the contents of a GitHub repository without cloning the repository, and you just want to be able to have the files in that repository, you could use the curl against their API, which is just to github.com, the owner, and then the name of the repository slash tarball slash main. It works great. So there we go. That's what I wanted to get out, pass to people. I had fun doing that yesterday. So keep that in the back of your mind if you're looking to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's some Git stuff for you, Joel.
Yeah. Well, one thing a lot of people weren't getting today was monitoring on their servers. Datadog has been down since 1 a.m. today.
Is it still down?
Brought some services back at 5 o'clock, but not the ones we use the most, at least my team. One thing we use the most is probably Synthetics. We do it does a test every, you can vary it, but I think we're at every 5 minutes in prod. It'll log into the service, do something, and then log out. All right. So that's fun. Probably that I get the most of my work from is because it'll fail, and either it's something we have to fix or we just have to run the test again. All right. 9 times out of 10, it's running the test again. So that and a lot of the monitoring, we've got monitors that have been written against Datadog that will look for things like there is a scripted file maintenance kind of thing for our Linux clients that looks at the Unidata files, and if there's a damaged file, it'll tell us. If it needs resize, it creates a paragraph that will resize it in the Uni basic that gets run manually by whoever's doing the maintenance cycle. So those kinds of alerts wouldn't come in. So if there's a damaged file, then that might be an issue because the monitoring doesn't work on that. So, and of course, ironically enough, the only place I actually found anything about it was MarketWatch. I thought there might be more on it, but then you got to consider Datadog's mostly for IT cogs like us. So we use it, and I know there's lots of other companies around that use it. So, and poor Jeremy, because I think he still works for them.
So does Alon. Remember Alon?
Yes, I do.
I believe that was his name. Was his name Alon? Yeah, I think they both work.
Actually,
for
they might. I'm not sure if Jeremy Garcia works for them or not.
I thought he did. Yeah, well.
Let me see. Oh yeah, he's VP of Technical Community and Open Source.
Who's that? Jeremy?
Jeremy Garcia, yeah.
Okay. Man, do you have alerts going off all the time? Well, I guess not, because if Datadog is down, you're not getting alerts.
No, the only thing that I was getting today was tickets customers put in, which that's not something I like. We like to find the problem and fix it before the customer notices.
Wow.
And you're right. Elon is also Datadog. Damn it. Good job. And they're both on LinkedIn. So Elon's also a conference chair at Scale. So, yeah, that will be fun. Yeah, they apparently they were applying an update and it went south.
That stinks. You know, like
hell yeah.
Oh, if you're in a company like that, and oh my goodness, you apply an update and it fails. Woo!
Big money. Their shares closed 3.8% lower.
I bet you some people's heads are rolling.
Oh, I bet you. When your stock goes lower? Yeah. Not to mention the fact they're usage based. So as much data as you're pumping in the Datadog, and they have a whole day where they're not doing that, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully it's back tomorrow. But because I don't like my customers finding issues before we do.
Could have just stopped at it. I don't like my customers.
No, I like my customers. Hey, like since now we moved teams, and since we moved teams, I'm part of the global support team, and one of the things they do is when a customer closes a case or we close a case, the customer gets a survey, and I got one today with all 10s on it. So yay,
good for you.
Also happens to be the first one too. So first one for our new team. So that's it. I don't know if it just took that long for them to add it to our workflows, but any event, everything's good to go on that kind of stuff. That particular item was the customer was wanting to do something. I would say it's probably a bad practice now, generic logins. But anywho, I talked to him about it, and he said that he really appreciated me taking the time, and I'm like, that's what I'm here for. So, but. And now I've got, I want to tell you, if you need like a small desk or something that you don't want to pay a lot for, look on Amazon. I got a new one. FedEx brought it to me today. It wasn't Amazon that delivered to me. I found one on Amazon for $40. Took me all of 10 minutes to put it together. It's just a basic, like a table almost, you know? No wire management built into it, no storage built into it, just something to put your stuff on.
If you need a cheap table, look on Facebook Marketplace. I mean, seriously.
Well, that too. But yeah. But if you want one that doesn't look like shit.
Keep looking on Facebook Marketplace. You'll find something eventually.
You just have a better area to look for that than I do. I've not found anything good here. Usually it's people want too much money for what they're asking for.
Yeah. Well, everybody tries to do that everywhere, and then you just tell them, quit being a fucking moron, here's what I'll pay for it. And they'll either say yes or no.
Like,
what's the worst thing to say? No or nothing.
3-year-old laptop that they want like $100 less than what they paid for
no.
3 years ago. Yeah.
Laptop prices right now are still a joke, and they shouldn't be. I mean, I understand the chip shortage is still a thing, but any type of computer on the used market right now, the prices are still a joke.
Yep.
I mean, I keep an eye on that type of thing, so yeah.
Oh, bad. And speaking of Raspberry Pis, I dug out my Pi Zero W.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, why not? Let me try using the Raspberry Pi imager and getting a new image and try starting it.
Mm-hmm.
Booted right up. Booted right up.
That's not surprising.
Well, I thought that it was dead because I can get it to work when I had it and I was actually using it for something.
When you were using an old image that you had borked?
No, I didn't bork it. I will say this. It was probably an outdated version of everything because I was using it for D-Star. I think when I built the other one, I think I built it mostly from scratch from the repos. But now I just got to figure out what I'm going to use it for because I don't know. I never really needed cables for it, so like hooking it up to the TV or something is kind of dumb because I need to order cables for it. You know, granted the cables are still probably less than
hooked up to a TV. So.
Yes, true. So
that's fine. Other straps.
But
found him.
You must be working out.
Oh yeah, I'm about
Puff
to.
Pump the iron.
Try and
strapping
deadlift.
On his heroin.
Yeah, I'm going to try and deadlift, what is this, 340 pounds? I don't do a
there
lot of
go.
Deadlifting. I mean, this isn't a lot for most people, but it's a lot for me. Actually,
yep.
I don't know whether it's not a lot. It's just 340 pounds.
How many
reps
are you going
to do? I'm not Ronnie Coleman. Or four, and then I'll strap on more weight and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Now I've been going the last 10 days in a row. I made it to the gym in the morning or the evening, mostly the morning. I've been getting my butt up at like my alarm set for 5:30 in the morning. I get up, put a pair of shorts and t-shirt on, socks and shoes. Grab some water, take my medicine, and head to the gym. I've only been doing cardio, 30 minutes on a treadmill.
That's a good place to start when you haven't been in a while.
Yes.
Just that warm-up cardio, doing a half an hour, 45 minutes. Once you get up to, like, that 45 minutes to an hour range, then you start adding in some weightlifting.
Yeah, I'm just, and I don't even care. I'm not even looking at how fast I'm going or anything. I'm just walking, you know. That's
well, whatever the pace right is, that's your pace for now.
That's right. It's and it's better than not. Like,
look, the last thing you want to do is take a break from the gym and then go back to the gym and wreck yourself. Because that means you're not going to go next day.
That's right. But so Fridays are harder, I should say, because
people suck.
They're not open as late on Fridays. They're only open till like 9, I think. And usually, if I go in the evening, I usually go between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. So last Friday, I got there with like a half hour closed. So I only did 20 minutes, but I pushed myself to go faster.
Hey,
so
20 minutes of cardio, you know, that can be pretty damn good.
Yep. Well, it was okay. I also kind of justified it a little bit in that because basically every Friday is like the store. We always usually go to two different stores every week. One is Sam's Club, and then the other is Meijer, which is a little closer to us. But so we went to Sam's Club, which is all the way over in Hilliard, which is about 15 to 30 minutes away, depending on traffic. So I didn't get back home until like 7-ish. And now it's starting to get warm enough where you really need to one of the tricks we've done when we've done that trip is not unload it until after we've ate, because usually we don't eat till late on Friday.
My diet has been all over the place lately. I've been trying to keep it under control, and I'll get it for a couple of days, and then something will come up. My own fault. Yep. I put it in my mouth. I only blame myself. But, no, I did a 15-mile bike ride.
Nice.
Yesterday? Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday. Today's Wednesday, so yeah, I think I did it on Tuesday. That was fun. First time for 15 miles in a long time. So
that's pretty good.
Next time I'll try for 20. Because I'm supposed to be going to a wedding at the end of the month, and I haven't decided if I'm going to, you know, follow the uniform that was suggested, which is a kilt.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did that once. I was in a wedding party, and they did a Scottish-themed wedding.
Yeah.
I wore a kilt.
Now, Sam's Club is really starting to get good for finding, like, low-carb kind of things.
You know, I went into I do have a Sam's Club membership,
right.
Thanks to the in-laws. But me and the wife, Jackie, went through, and we didn't see much that was actually a savings for us compared to other places that we shopped at.
It depends.
At.
Yeah, it depends.
And definitely did not see a lot of low-carb, at least not at ours.
Yeah, they had like a big pack of Premier Proteins protein pancakes.
Well, just because it's protein doesn't mean it's low carb.
It's 1 gram dietary fiber. The total of, it's not low carb, but it's lower than a regular pancake. 27 carbs for 3 pancakes.
Well, so, who cares about carbs anyway? Just get that protein number up.
Yeah, the protein is, let's see what they want, what they have protein. Let's see if they listed specifically here. 15 grams of protein. So
that's not bad.
Nope. Wife says they taste good, so she put some sugar-free syrup on it. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what kind. I honestly, I don't
there's
like
a couple
sugar.
Of them.
Yeah, there is. It's better than the alternative, as in no syrup on it. You know.
Yeah.
But I really prefer real maple syrup on pancakes.
Everybody prefers real maple syrup, but the difference is that one serving of the sugar-free, depending on which brand you get, is between 5 and 15 calories, while one
correct.
Serving of maple syrup is 110 calories.
That's right. But they have these, they'll have these, I'm trying to remember the name.
And
I want to
nobody
say...
does only one serving of maple syrup on their pancakes.
No, yeah, absolutely not, no. But they also have egg bites. I want to say it's Three Creeks, but that's probably not right. But you just microwave them for 80 seconds. I know microwave food's probably not the best food, but that something like that is better
microwave
for me.
Microwave food is perfectly acceptable.
I would say something like that is better for me than eating a bowl of cereal. So...
took a long time for me to get those three in.
I'm going
to see the chiropractor tomorrow.
Are you? Oh, yeah. Need to get an adjustment?
Oh, I need to get constant adjustments. My back's all screwed up, but that's why today's deadlift day. I go see the chiropractor tomorrow.
Screw it up even worse.
Make sure they can find the bad spots. All right, what number am I going to?
500.
I don't have the weights for 500. All right. What did I say I was at? 340? 360.
Go for it.
380 it is.
Excuse me.
So if you hear this loud pop, it's probably just my spine. Don't worry about it.
The pixel update's late this month, Dan.
Sorry, I was muted. The what?
You know, Google's pixel update. Usually it's out by now. And I think you get... because this is a bigger update than usual. It's their QPR2 release. Be adding new features to Android.
Let me see if I got an update recently.
Did you install the KDE Connect?
Oh, no, I was mucking around with the PlayStation controller.
Break for a minute before I try and toss this 380 in the air.
I gotta see. So I am at Android, so I'm up to date.
Right. Yeah, the new
one. So last update was on February 5th.
Right.
So I guess I have to, it's not out yet, is it?
No, it's not. They were supposed to have been out Monday, I think. Let's see. Yeah, that makes sense. Monday. Yeah. Usually like the 5th or the 6th, but they're late. Because this is a feature update. I mean, I can't complain. My Pixel 6 Pro is still plenty fast.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my Pixel. It works pretty well. You know, I just got to watch certain applications will run that freaking battery right into the ground.
On your Pixel? How old's your Pixel?
It's a year and a half.
I mean... You got the 6A, right?
Like, I found the Reddit application. Yeah, no, 4A.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah, yeah, I don't all install right. The Reddit app. I just use Chrome.
A browser.
Yeah, I could do that too, but I got sick of it bitching and moaning, and so I installed the app, and I like the app, but it can eat right. The battery if I'm not careful. But that's neither here nor there.
All right, this fucker ain't going up.
Yo. What the? Man, they don't make this easy. Oh. What else, Joel? No monitoring?
Yep.
So So that means you have the night off.
No, I'm not on call this week. That's next week. One kind of cool thing, they just changed some of the schedule rotation with that. Weekend, like, during the week, it's still the same, 8 to 8, 8 p.m. to 12, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. is what we cover during the week. But on the weekends, they basically lowered it from 12-hour shift to 8 hours. So it starts from 12 to 8 p.m., which is completely fine and wonderful because that means I can do all the stuff in the morning, Saturday morning, that we normally would do in the afternoon.
Are they giving you 40s still? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, normal's okay. 40s. Yeah.
Are you hourly? Hey,
no, I'm salary. So, it's basically in the normal, you know, we have our normal shift the normal 8 to 5, with an hour for lunch. But then
360 went up. Need to switch tracks. So.
From 5 to 8, we really only have to respond to P1s or P2s. So, you know,
how many do you get?
Not that many.
I was going to say, I get like one of those a year, maybe two.
Yeah. Now, during that time, 5 to 8 is usually a low period anyway, because most of the school, you know, it starts with the East Coast. But see, we have West Coast clients too, so occasionally there will be a P1 for a West Coast, but... If we all had to manage our applications, that would be awesome. But no, they pay us to do their stuff, so we got to take care of that. So,
switch to the hard hooks and see how well it works.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've taken it now when I go to the gym. I make sure I bring my iPad with me because that helps me cover the clock up on the treadmill so I don't have to. If I pay attention to the clock, I'm like, oh God, this is taking forever. But if I'm watching something on my iPad, I don't notice it as much. It's like the treadmill starts to slow down. I'm like, oh, it's over already? So I'm getting it.
Alright.
So, see, it's not too much longer. We got another month until the next Ubuntu comes out.
Yeah.
23.4.
I was tempted.
It's a beta already, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I was tempted to maybe go straight to that, but I figure... you know, it is still in beta, so maybe I'll just wait until. Or I don't know. Is it in beta or is it in alpha?
Hold on, I think it's still beta.
Shouldn't be alpha.
Not this close, no.
Yeah, I think I read it was in beta. So.
They have their nightly. Nightlies, of course, too, but. Lunar, I should say. Lunar Lobster.
Their 2310 to be in beta, you know, after next month.
Yeah.
Is that what they normally do?
They got daily builds now listed on the releases. They also got Raspberry Pi images too. Now I need to buy one.
All right, that was 370.
As Joe works it out.
Take the pants off.
Nope, I won't keep on.
Nope, take a picture for Joel. Well, I got shorts on. In my garage.
That's my daily uniform, man.
Shorts. Or pants. Over shorts.
Shorts and a t-shirt. Even during the winter.
Take a break.
Oh, OMG Ubuntu.
Should I do one more at 370? Or should I go up to 75? Or... the 80 again.
Final version of KDE. That's KDE Plasma 5.27 that you're running there, huh, buddy? Or is it sick now?
I wonder how I can tell. Is there an about? Just got to be an about somewhere.
Well, what OMG Ubuntu has a story about this, that Plasma 5, the 5.27 is the last version of Plasma in the 5 series, and the 6 series, Plasma 6 is due for release towards the end of the year. So, with QT6 accompanying that. Hell, I remember what a big deal going from KDE 3 to KDE 4 was.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
You know, that's I'm having a hard time finding this.
Pick Conker or something like that and go to the version there. I get matches usually.
About this system.
Yeah, or help.
That's Ubuntu 20. Oh, this is just giving me a...
Well, if it's the one that's in the 2210 repos, then it's probably 5.27. Let me double check. I can search it with my Synaptic.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I can get the serial number of my laptop, but I can't find a version of KDE. Oh my goodness. All right, so I have interesting. You'd think it would be under system settings somewhere. Maybe there's a help menu. A KDE help center. Helps. Well, there's the help center. Let's see that. It probably came up, like, right when it was coming up the first time. It said, welcome to KDE Plasma whatever version. And I didn't even pay attention to it.
That was 380.
I just see what it is. I don't have it myself yet.
You know, I got this wonderful thing called the internet.
Yeah, it is useful.
Yes, it is.
It tells you all sorts of things.
All right, let's do this.
That's like one of the things I was searching for, or saw, I should say, one of the Android ones, was like, that they're not allowing Android 13 people to use some of the new features that's in Android 14, namely emoji wallpaper. I'm like, who gives a shit about emoji wallpapers? I'm like, seriously. But at least if you watch Mandalorian this season, they're not on freaking tattooing the whole freaking episode.
Well, they weren't last season either.
True. But Dan said they were always on Tatooine.
Not on the first episode of Mandalorian. No, on Obi-Wan. Thank goodness. You know what I thought? here's my impression of the first episode of The Mandalorian, which I did enjoy.
Yes.
I thought it went too fast. Like, Andor?
Really?
A long time. Like, I thought a right amount of time.
You thought it was going to be the whole season before he goes to Mandalore.
Huh?
Because he's in Mandalore for the second episode.
I didn't see the second episode yet. I only saw the first episode. But, like, with Andor, things didn't happen so fast. You know what I mean? It progressed. It seemed to progress really well. With The Mandalorian, he's just like zip, 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 zip all over the place. He's like, you know, he's like, I'm going to go to the pits or the mines. And then he's flying off to some other place where he says, I come to join you. Let's go check out Mandalore. And she's like, forget it. I don't want nothing to do with you.
And I'm like,
It's just, what's going on here? We can slow it down a little bit.
I was going to say on that one, it was like, where the hell are the rest of the Mandalorians that were hanging out with Bo-Katan? It's like, just her in that big old castle.
Yeah, that's the first thing I do. He's walking down that big corridor. I'm like, man, that's a lot of wasted space. Like, there's nothing you can do with that space in that corridor, like that hall he's walking down. You can't even use it as a hall because there's these concrete pillars everywhere. But I did. It makes it sound like I didn't enjoy. I did enjoy The Mandalorian.
Second episode was really cool. I liked it better than the first one.
Well, that's good.
You get to see at the very end of it. You get to see something that we've only seen the skull for. I think that was enough to hint at what it is, but not tell you what it is.
Well, I don't know. I'm not paying attention close enough that I've only seen a skull for. Don't tell me. I look forward to watching it.
You'll watch it, yes. I was going to say, the second episode of Picard, I was a little bit disappointed in at the end. But probably my number one criticism of that is the same criticism I've had of both definitely Star Trek Nemesis and First Contact, where it seems like Picard and Riker always end up running into these super powerful enemies. You know, like in Nemesis, it was his clone and other weird shit like that. It's like
Riker's clone.
Well, you know, no, Riker's clone's not in Picard season 3 that I know of. No, Shinzon in Nemesis.
I don't remember Nemesis.
Yeah, Shinzon was a clone of Picard that the Romulans made and aged fast. But yeah, it's good TV on right now.
Oh, there it is. What an idiot. I think it was affirming.
527, right?
No, 525.5.
Okay, that's what's live right now.
Unless there's been an update. I didn't run an update on this thing in the past week.
Wow, so there must be some new distros coming out. I'd never heard of this one before. OMG Ubuntu. Tuxedo OS release with KDE Plasma 5.27 and Linux 7 or 6.1 kernel.
I heard of Tuxedo. I haven't used it.
Tuxedo's been around for a while.
Yeah, Well, I've never heard of it. It shows you how much I pay attention to it. But
I think that's more you thing.
Likely. But I've been seeing others too, you know, that I just haven't seen before.
Papa West.
Papa West, I ran for a while.
Garuda. Garuda's pretty new.
Manjaro's is an older one, and I like it too. My thing is, I don't have enough CPUs to run all the different versions on it. I've just moved beyond dual booting. I don't like dual booting anything anymore. It's just
eventually stick and multi boot the hell out of it.
Right. Oh, there is an article. Hey, there you go, Dan. There's an article on OMG Ubuntu on how to upgrade KDE Plasma to KDE Plasma 5.27 on Ubuntu 22.10. So there you go. You can get the latest, greatest.
Oh, look at that, Joel.
Look at what? Upgrading Ubuntu?
No, I installed the KDE Connect.
Ooh.
You installed it on your phone too?
No, it's on my phone.
Okay, and you installed it on the desktop?
Well, I think it's in here. It's on the desktop because it asked me to. I needed to pair it, and then it showed me the laptop, and I clicked pair it, and now I can control my mouse from my phone.
Yep. You also should be able to like send text messages through your phone from your computer.
Since you're
running Plasma.
And this is kind of similar to what, but more. With what Google does with Chrome.
Whoa. Yeah, I like that. I like the Find It feature there. That's handy.
Yeah, it doesn't work as well for me since I'm not running Plasma. So not all the features are there, but I can still, like, control my computer with it.
So, can you... What were you saying to do? Send a text message?
You should be able to send text messages from your computer
your keyboard.
Through your phone.
Right. You could do that with Windows, as well as, I think you could do that just via Chrome itself as well.
It's one of the other KDE apps. Let me look.
That's cool.
I tried it on mine, but it doesn't work on mine. KDE Connect SMS.
Oh, there you go. But it uses KDE.
Oh, there it
Connect.
Is.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's kind of stuff like what they're doing on the Mac with its full integration with the iPhone and all that. It's very similar to that. Although you can't control your Mac from your iPhone, at least with any of the default Apple tools. You can probably run like a.
Even use your phone as a keyboard if you need to.
Right.
But it's nice with a touchpad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you're on like an exercise bike or something.
Yeah, you can change the, like if you have music playing on the laptop, you want to change the track or something. Yeah. Among other things. Cool stuff.
Where's the other end of this?
I might wait till 22 or 23.4 comes out to try KDE again. I liked it, but I like GNOME a lot too. And I know I can install KDE on my Ubuntu, but generally the minute I start adding desktops to it, my laptop becomes a holy hell mess of services and stuff. And so I typically only prefer to run just one desktop usually. I mean, like, you can run some of the lighter weight ones as alternatives, like put Fluxbox on there. Or the awesome window manager. I'll never run that.
Alright, that's enough deadlifting for today.
Anything's better than Tom's window manager, which was my first exposure to X on Linux back in the day. I think on Slackware.
CDE, man. Common desktop environment.
I'm sure IBM's still using it. God, bye. Or try some of the Raspberry Pi alternatives, since the Pi is just getting stupid expensive. Stupid. Yeah, stupid, basically.
Yep, orange.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about the orange pies lately.
And they don't cost as much as the raspberries.
And the rock pie, too.
I wonder what without having looked at any of the documentation, there must be a way for the KDE Connect SMS to integrate with contacts so that instead of it just showing me the phone number, it would show me the contact name.
Yeah, I don't know because it doesn't work on Cinnamon.
Because it did say I needed to provide permission for the SMS stuff, also permission for contacts. And I did the SMS thing before contacts and I loaded up, but even a refresh doesn't seem to be. I wonder if doesn't KDE have a contact? Contact, personal information manager. I wonder if that integrates, if that works with. Let's see in a minute. Who knows? Where'd it go? It didn't even come up. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, it's working. Telephony note. Yeah, you know what's going to be happening is now every time my phone rings, my computer's going to notify me of it.
And that's kind of why I don't like stuff like that.
That's okay. Cool, I like it. That's neat. Fun stuff. Easy to install and work with. My wife says I'm cool because I sent her an SMS from my phone.
Yeah. As long as she thinks you're cool, everything's right with the world, right?
That's it. What am I trying to do here? Get out of here. I didn't want to set up email. I just wanted to contact, see if my contacts flow in. No, I didn't see them. They don't come in. I got to figure that one out. Oh, there it is. All right. Well, I closed it, and I didn't like it. Anyway, that's, what's this? I like it. What's this button do, Joel?
What button is that?
It was a contact button. I didn't even recognize it. I have no idea. All these like icons show up when you launch something. It's so nice. Much. I'm not used to this level of
integration.
Yeah, I'm not used to this level of too much stuff going on.
Old fart.
Yeah, I know. Oh, no. Did it do that? Where's Mumble?
I don't know. You got, does anyone here have, I know I have it, but does anybody else have a car with Android Auto?
Nope.
Yes.
Did you get the new version?
On the car?
Yeah, well, it's, well, okay, they changed the interface up, so it's mostly black now, and you have, like, the right half of the screen, at least by default, the right half of the screen will have what, it, like, if you're playing, like, a podcast or something on your phone, or music, it'll show up there, then you have the map on the left-hand side. Basically, some minor changes to the interface, and it looks so much better. You'll have to check it the next time you go into that car with it, because I know your daily driver doesn't have it. Your good old Honda Fit.
Oh, no, it's the Kia. So,
it's on the Kia. Your wife drives that more than you do, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like her car. It's like that Fit. It's a stick. It's yours. And you're the only one who drives it because you're the only one who knows how to drive it.
No, my wife knows how to drive.
So she does?
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's known how, before I knew her, she knew how to drive manual transmission.
That is good.
Yeah,
I don't.
No. We've been
actually,
trying to
you
get
know what?
Kids to learn, but they.
Yeah.
What?
I'm not going to learn.
I got SMS working.
There you go. SMS
on Cinnamon.
Did you send a message to your wife so she could tell
no.
you how cool you are?
No, no. Sent a message to my daughter.
Macarena cool, huh?
I sent a message to Kai.
She may be short, but she got a message.
Right.
That's right. Kai's your oldest, right?
Yep.
She's in college. She's a college girl.
Well, my middle child is a college girl, too.
There you go.
My youngest is 12.
Jojo.
Yep.
You know what I don't like, and I had this problem. This is a weird problem with Mumble and some of the desktops it's on, runs under. Like, if I switch off the virtual desktop it's on and go back, I can't find Mumble again. I can see the recorder window, but I can't find Mumble. And I've had that problem before on other window managers or desktop environments. And I know there's something to click on there, but I'm like, how do I bring it back up to the wherever the hell it went? Like, I don't know where it went. Where's the task manager?
See, you were talking about Mumble. You had me thinking about, because every once in a while when I try another desktop, I'll run into issues with how whatever sound server it's using works with Mumble. So I have to futz around with Mumble to get it to work right. Or it's something silly like the keyboard shortcuts wouldn't work on KDE Plasma when I was trying it a while ago. So I had to use my mouse to mute and unmute, which, not bad, you know, it's just irritating.
Like, I'm not confident that if I tried just to run Mumble again, it would bring it up. It would just probably start a new one. I don't know. Maybe
like
it would.
Can't hit like Alt Tab and try and bring it up that way.
Yeah, when I hit Alt Tab, I just get the recorder in that window. I don't. Where did it go?
Oh. Okay. That means you're gonna have to shut it down the hard way this time.
Well, as long as. You know, I'm not concerned about it because it is recording, and I have the recorder window.
Okay. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's overriding you bringing up the other window. I don't know.
It's not supposed to be. So, one of the things that I find annoying, like this is great. One of my system, like on this system, I can see the recording window, but I can't see the mumble thing. On another system, when I go to stop the recording and then close mumble, mumble closes, but the recorder window doesn't. It just stays there, and I can't, like, it's weird. I don't know why it does that. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I've had weird stuff happen with Mumble on different desktops. Most reliable for me with Mumble has been straight up GNOME, which is pretty much what Ubuntu's using now. So, go get me some Lebanon bologna here in a couple months. Actually, I can go get it right now if I want some, but but I'm gonna load up when I go to Pennsylvania again.
The Setzlers?
Seltzers.
Seltzers, yeah.
Yeah. Give me some of that. Maybe I can get some of that corn stuff you like.
The Cope's dried corn.
Yeah.
Speaking of all that happening, I'll be smoking a turkey breast tomorrow.
Nice.
Not a big fan of breast. I like it. I prefer thighs myself.
Thighs
and wings.
Drums.
No, I do and just the drums. I like dark meat is what I like. But you know, I love turkey anyway. So saying I don't particularly, you know, the breast isn't my favorite is just like.
See the thing I love it. You know, still. I have a turkey in my freezer that I bought. You know, like around Thanksgiving. And I keep thinking I'm going to spatchcock it and put it on the pit boss. But then I think, well, I could also make it and stuff it, you know, make stuffing and all the trimmings that I really like at Thanksgiving. I guess it'd probably be healthier if I did it smoked and then have a few sides. I don't know. I gotta get, well, if I'm gonna do that, then I need to get some new kitchen shears because I don't have ones that will be strong enough to snap that bone in there. The ones I have are. I'm trying to think if those are the same one. Like, I got this knife that when we got married, which will be 26 years this year. And it came with a set of kitchen shears in the knife block. You know, the Farberware knives. Don't buy those. They're cheap. But, you know, that's we got it as a wedding gift. I didn't care. You know,
you got what are you talking about? The what?
Faberware knives. Like
Faberware.
Faberware, yeah.
Is that come to the block? Wait, who is that? Is that Walmart or is that?
No, that is no. It's a national brand. It's not a very good one.
Yeah, but I thought it was like. I thought like one of the do all the Target,
well,
Macy's.
To be fair, I was gonna say to be fair, it could have been a Walmart SKU because Walmart does that. Like they'll have like a national brand, but you can only get that particular version of it at Walmart.
Okay,
so
well,
they'll
yeah.
do that.
So Faberware is so, Faberware is sold
Faberware
at Target, Walmart, Amazon. Yeah, I'm familiar
yeah.
with Faberware.
Yeah, that said, I have is 26 years old. I'm long past wanting a new set. I just haven't found the set that I'm willing to spend. I don't want to buy cheap shit knives anymore.
I don't know the last set of cheap shit knives you got lasted you 20 odd years.
Yeah,
yeah,
say,
true,
man.
True.
If they're
true.
If they're working pretty good after 20 some years, man. I don't know. I was gonna say the Faberware can't be that bad.
I do sharpen them. I will say that I do sharpen them. I'm not the kind of person that will throw a knife out once it becomes dull, because you know I know how to sharpen knives. So, both with a whetstone or some other device, but it's like I was never super impressed with that set. They are okay as long as I keep them nice and sharp. I prefer, I have my brother-in-law when, God, it's over 20 years ago now. It was right about the time we moved into our old house when it was not old, it was new. And he was selling Cutco knives to make some extra side cash. And I bought the French chef knife and the bread knife, and they had a little it's designed to like spread cream cheese on your bagels, but one side has a serration so you can cut them open if you needed to. But I bought those three, and then I went and looked at, okay, how much would it cost me to get an entire set of Cutco? Over $1,000. It's like, I want some nice knives, but I don't know if I want to spend that much money on them. And I'm also in desperate need of some new cookware, too, because some of my stuff is just beat up hell. It wears out.
But all you need is a wok and a cast iron pan. Like a cast iron Dutch oven.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you brought up cast iron because it's the first time I tried doing some steaks on the cast iron. And they came out wonderful.
I can believe it.
The only downside to it is it smoked the hell out of the house when I set off the smoke
alarms.
Oh,
yeah. it'll do that.
I just need to see if I can find an oil that has a little bit higher temp than because you have to, when you cook a steak on a cast iron, you have to get that cast iron blistering hot, man. But let me tell you that, and I even, in the bits and stuff and the grease that was in the bottom of beef stock and some butter and mix that up together with all the drippings and stuff from that steak and made a little sauce and that worked one. Oh man, that tasted so good. About 5 minutes to medium rare, which is a little bluer than I like, but it still was wonderful.
Mm-mm-mm. Little what that you don't like?
But, little too rare, I guess.
Oh, man, I'd say that might be a little too overdone for me.
you like cooking it like for 2 minutes and that's it, man. You're done.
We met for the first time Avery's boyfriend's mom on the weekend, and we went to Second Street Bistro in Newport News, and it was a great time. And I had a I was like hankering for a steak for a couple of days, and I had a New York strip there, rare, and they did a great job.
Great job on it. Yeah.
It was delicious.
Actually, I take that back. I'm on Cutco's website. The Homemaker Plus 8 set with a block, with a petite chef knife, $1,500, okay? To buy one of the bigger sets, you're over $3,000 for knives.
See,
I will say this, though. They are great knives.
I would not want... If I had a knife that cost that much money, I would not sharpen it myself. I would be even leery to use it. I mean,
no, that's a whole entire set. That's like multiple knives, man.
So. Right.
It'd be the prettiest decoration in my kitchen.
There you go.
Yeah, probably.
Because it would be this block of beautiful knives right next to the Farberware block, which is falling apart. Right. Like, there it is. Don't old, touch still a single in use. One of them.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I lost one or two of those in the move, so I don't have the complete set anymore. But
I bet it costs like $5 to replace them.
Probably. But see, well, there is something though to buying quality knife though, because if you buy the cheap one, you're going to have to sharpen them more because they're going to lose their edge faster. All right, if you buy one that's made a little bit higher quality steel, then that edge will last longer. On the other side of that coin, though, when you do go to sharpen it, it will take longer to sharpen because it's stronger. So there's pluses and minuses to each. I know I don't want wood handles when I buy my next knife set, but I don't want really cheap plastic handles either, because those things fall apart too. But we'll see.
So what, maybe I won't buy any carbon fiber handles or something.
No, I forget what Cutco uses, but other companies use similar. It's a polymer of some sort, but it's not like Walmart plastic.
Just going to 3D print his own handles.
You know, I have fixed things with my printer. I have two KitchenAid mixers, but the other one is I'm keeping a hold of, so that when Luke finally gets to the point where he wants his own place, I'll give that to Luke. But it still has the 3D printed knob that I made for the that keeps the accessory button in the front of the KitchenAid. What are the? I have to see what those. What does Cutco use on the knife? About knives. It's really solid. It's one of the reasons I like it. And all the Cutco knives are also full tang. So right from the blade into the handle. Thermo resin is what they use. But it's incredibly solid. It's not cheap. Like, I bought a little cheaper, I think it was a Hinkle. I think I got it on clearance at Kroger's when they were clearing them out. And the handle cracked up by the spine of the knife. So, but I will say the bread knife that I got from Cutco is fantastic too. It just slices through that bread like butter. I mean, it really does a great job slicing bread. I use it for other things too. That's usually the knife I'll get out when I'm carving turkey. Is I'll get off, they call it a bread knife, but it's just It's just a long knife with a serrated edge on it, is what it is. So, I have sharpened my cutcos, so I need to get a, I want to get a, there's a couple different, sharpening, systems I've seen. the one I have, the Lansky set does a good job with my pocket knives, but I'd like to get one where it doesn't take me as long to sharpen them. I kind of did that with, when I bought, those, Open L knives, I bought, they have like a little ceramic sharpener. You just run the blade, you know, between the in the slot, you know, and that does a really good job of putting an edge on those. I have used it with some others too, but and my Open L's just work wonderfully. Right. They're my favorite pocket knives.
It's getting late.
It is.
Yeah, we gotta have to
get going.
We and play this see out next here. Week. What is next week? Is St. Patrick's Day next week?
Yeah, on Friday.
All right, I'll talk to you guys next week.
Have a good one. Yeah, it's on Friday, Joel. What happened to Joel?
I'm here.
Yeah, it's on Friday.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to play us out. Here's your promos and everything. Have fun. See you on the flip side.
Here we go.
What the? Did this get muted?
Probably. Because I didn't hear no sound.
Yeah, neither did I. Where did it go?
Is this on the one where you couldn't find Mumble?
Oh, wait, last time it was... Where did it... It had to do with the cord last time, didn't it?
I don't remember.
Oh, did I bump it? It gets so annoying.
She is short. Maybe you need to simplify your podcast setup.
Yeah, you'd think. You would think. Why? It's this thing. So, it's not muted.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's the cord, but it... Getting from the line in, and it's starting to piss me off. So, you know what I'm going to do? I don't need this recording. But, okay, I don't need you telling me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to close Mumble, and I'm going to reopen it, and see if it does the same thing. It probably will. I don't know why I am thinking that doing it this way is going to make a difference. Which, let me try.
I hear it on the sound. There it is.
All right. Okay, there we go.
Play us out.
Yeah, here we go. There it was. It was a device again. I don't know. I must have gotten jostled. All right, here we go.
I am short.
Showtime! Whoa. Where am I?
I don't know.
I know. Stupid. I should have just... Sorry. Here we go.
You wouldn't think we've almost done 1,000 episodes. It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community.
If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Oh, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right.
That, you know what? It wouldn't play the audio, but damned if I when I closed it, it closed the recording window. Like it was supposed to. So I'm like, what? Prove me wrong.
Right.
What can you
do?
Holy
shit, backup recordings. All right, man. Yeah. See you next week.
All right. Good luck at the gym, man.
Yes, sir.
See you later. Hello?
Yeah, we stopped talking as soon as we started recording.
Hello? Good. I'm taking a gamble today.
Uh-oh. Compiling a kernel again?
No, I'm on KDE.
Good show.
Ooh.
Just need to figure out how to configure it the way I want it. Because KDE is like a buffet. It's like the old country buffet of settings.
Mm-hmm.
Controls.
Never there once ever in my entire life.
You what?
You what?
Old country?
Oh, never went to those ever.
Well, I'm trying to think what buffets are there. I guess there's Old Country Buffet and Golden Corral and
Golden Corral.
Yeah, I was never into buffets, to be honest. They're kind of always kind of crappy, gross, and dirty.
All depends on which one you go to. Now, Golden Corral has ditched the chocolate fountain, so
they're back. I haven't seen any.
Yeah, they ours reopened. Like after being closed for 2 years.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were still around.
Yeah. It reopened and the chocolate fountain is gone, which thank God for that, because it was disgusting.
Well, I you know, what does it matter? I mean, you didn't have to eat at the chocolate fountain, man.
That's true, too, and I didn't.
Like, did you feel obligated that every time you went to Golden Corral, you had to go to the chocolate fountain?
No, but there was always a crowd of kids around it. And
I'm surprised that after you ate, you didn't create your own chocolate fountain.
Might.
That's after White Castle.
But you know what? White Castle doesn't do that to me.
I'm joking. It doesn't do that to me either. I know people have said that. It makes
White Castle's delicious.
I've never had any issues with it. I've had more issues with Taco Bell than freaking White Castle.
Now, I've been to Crystal, and they're disgusting. That's the southern version of White Castle.
Never heard of it.
They put mustard on their hamburgers.
Yeah, that's kind of like they do that shit in Jersey. They do ketchup and mustard together. Not
wrong with that.
Whataburger is good, though.
What's wrong with ketchup and mustard? Some places even use mayonnaise.
Man, actually, that's the best thing. Like, if I get a Chick-fil-A sandwich, that's what I want on it. Mustard and pickles, that's it. Nothing else.
Disgusting and disgusting.
Mayonnaise is delicious.
Mayonnaise is disgusting.
Everyone's got
real
pickles are disgusting.
I think pineapple on pizza is disgusting, to be perfectly honest.
You think what is disgusting?
Yeah, but you're Italian. So...
I'm not Italian. Pineapple on pizza is fucking gross.
Oh no, that's delicious.
Fucking gross.
Oh, it's incredible. Oh, you get some pineapple. You get some ham. You get some red onion. Put that on a pizza. Oh my god.
The Hawaiian pizza.
All day.
The Hawaiian pizza at Donato's, which is a chain that started here in Ohio. They put ham, pineapple, almonds, and cinnamon on their Hawaiian pizza.
Completely disgusting.
That doesn't sound. That doesn't sound like. That sounds more like a dessert pizza than a pizza.
But the same place, I think they still have it. Brought out a Mike's Hot Honey pepperoni pizza.
I don't think honey belongs on pizza.
Oh, no, no, no. Hot honey is spicy honey.
I am aware of spicy honey. I know that it exists. I've actually had it. I still don't think it belongs on a fucking pizza.
I think it's good. But I don't put tons of it on there.
It might belong on a dessert pizza. I could see that. Like one of those pizzas that might as well be a cake. Just to spice it up a little bit. That's what I'm talking about.
That's like I was talking about, you know, we were just shooting the crap around the house last night. I was talking about maybe we should go to Vegas because, one, I've never been there, and two, it's not like, you know, it used to be called Sin City because really it was kind of like that. It's still kind of like that, but there's actually decent things to do there besides go gamble.
Go shoot machine guns.
And you can eat pineapple on pizza, because that's the best way to do it. Right, Pat?
Well,
after shooting machine guns?
Right.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking more like going to places.
I mean, as much as a foodie I am, it's like going to places like, I'd like to go to Guy Fieri's or one of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants there. Or,
if you can afford it.
Well... Guy actually has a burger place there that's actually cheaper than Johnny Rockets. Johnny Rockets is ridiculous. It was so much when it was like a long while ago, probably the last time we've ever been to Johnny Rockets. I think it was just me and the wife, and this is like late 90s, right? Just Misty and I, $30. And we shared an onion ring. And I'm like, this place is not that good. Five Guys is better than that.
Back then, Vegas, you could go to like one of these buffets and it'd be really good.
Back now, then, I could have gone to this. I'd say back then, I could have went to the Star Trek Experience in Vegas. And that's gone too.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it was. Pictures I've seen of it, like they had the shopping area was DS9's Promenade, which was really neat. Then they had the Starship ride and all sorts of stuff. They had one of the big models of the fat one. I have to say that because. If you've seen the first episode of Picard, they're like getting ready for Frontier Day or something like that, and they had all these spaceship or starship models at that they were selling at this bar that Picard and Riker at, and the bartender goes, "No one likes the fat ones." And I'm like, "You just told that to the guy who was the captain of one of the most famous fat ones." But Picard season 3 has been pretty decent. Next episode
basically
comes
next generation.
Yeah, really, actually.
Pretty much.
Except for Shaw's a dick. If he lives this week.
Well, at least there's no retarded Klingons like in the other series.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, this is the last year of STD.
It's been like an STD.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's just
little fucking syphilis.
It wouldn't be
like
so
an inch and a half long.
My wife, if it didn't have so much cringe in it, like especially last season, it's like the end of the season, they're all crying and stuff. I'm like, really?
Yeah, it was pretty fucking lame.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty fucking lame.
Yeah. Strange New Worlds, on the other hand, completely different. And so much better.
When's that coming back?
It's a good question. Season 2 hasn't even been released, and they've already renewed it for Season 3.
I guess that's a good sign.
Dun, dun,
dun. Thing I might like about Strange New Worlds is it feels like a Star Trek series should feel. 100%.
It looks great.
Oh, it is. I mean, should the Enterprise look like it does? Probably not, but...
I like the uniforms.
Yeah, the uniforms look pretty sweet. If you look close enough at them, they're very similar to how they did the uniforms for the 2009 reboot. So, let's see. Season 2. Wikipedia says TBA, TBA, TBA. But, surprisingly enough, they don't have... I thought they might have Frakes direct an episode or two of that, because he's a pretty accomplished director.
Is he still directing?
He directed...
I know he's done a couple of podcasts recently.
He's directed episode 2 of Picard, season 3. That one I know for sure, because I saw it right at the beginning and right at the end. I'll probably watch that tomorrow when I'm at the gym on the treadmill.
Start this damn show.
Yeah.
There's a show?
Yeah.
Beauty Dog was down. We can talk about that.
9995. Here we go.